Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City. And I welcome you. Today, a more in-depth discussion, a classroom on the air, on menopause. And for all the women and men who are concerned about the aging process and assume that they have to suffer, you don't. Also, for those who are interested in, a lot of people seem to be interested in hepatitis, a more comprehensive protocol for hepatitis sufferers. Also, new research on what happens when you increase the consumption of fresh fruits and vegetables. Really good news there. And on the latest study, and the risk for heart disease increases by iron consumption. Well, how do we get all that iron? Well, most people are not aware of how much you get from meat. You should be. So we've got a lot on health and nutrition. Then I'm going to give you the latest on strong solar flare sparks radio blackout just last week. Hence, the threat of solar storms is very real. And for those of you who were erring on the side of caution and you prepared yourself in case there should be some form of blackout, whether it's for an hour or a week or a year, good for you. You were prudent. You did the right thing. Also, from our environmental segment, safety failures pervasive at site of mysterious nuclear leak. The U.S. government's own report faults declining safety culture for release of radiation at troubled New Mexico dump. So we'll deal with that. We have also, how have corporations colonized our public life? I'll share that. A special commentary on how our politicians have delegated power to global giants, engineering a world of conformity and consumerism. The Guardian's George Monbiot. So we have a lot to share. My guest, a newsmaker in the second part of our program, will be Dave Murphy. Dave is the founder and executive director of Food Democracy Now, a grassroots movement of 250,000 American farmers dedicated to reforming our food and agriculture. He's been called the most crucial and politically savvy actor in the ongoing efforts to help move American agriculture into the 21st century. We're going to talk about Vermont's GMO labeling and new efforts by Big Ag and Congress to prevent labeling nationally. So we finally have a victory in Vermont. They want to make sure this does not happen anywhere else. In fact, they want to make a federal law that would supersede the state law, and they have the politicians in their pocket, unless, of course, we start protesting against these for hire politicians. Well, that's redundant. They're all for hire, and we all know that. So we have a lot to share, plus a call to action for those living in Suffolk County. You should know that tomorrow there will be, in Riverhead at 9 a.m., there'll be a meeting to discuss the possibility of accepting hydrofracking waste. That means toxic and radioactive materials to be used on your roads as brine and in your landfills that will eventually seep into your aquifers and your drinking water. So I'll give you a call to action on that. Let's begin. It started with a woman who came to see me over 30 years ago, suffering from hot flashes, falling hair, and clumps, she said. And she said each time she took a shower, it depressed her because when she looked down, she could pick up a clump of hair. This had never happened to her before. She also noticed that she was getting a turkey neck and that her skin on her hands were thinning out substantially, showing all these veins, that she had a chronic yeast infection under fungus under her toenails that made them yellow and brittle and cracked, and she had no energy. And she was gaining weight, though she was not eating anything more. And I put her on a protocol, and a year later, there was substantial improvement. She came in and she said, No one believed, none of my doctors, including my husband, who is a doctor, believed that this was possible. And they said it was an anomaly. Even my own husband said, well, it's just an anomaly. It's not because you made any changes. She said, why don't you see if you can't do this on a large scale to prove them wrong? I didn't. It took a long time. In fact, it was just about 8 years ago when I decided to do it on a large-scale basis. We had over 500 women apply. We accepted 287. Actually, it was more like 330, but only 287 actually finished it. And by the way, I had seen that a lot of people are non-compliant, meaning they'll come because maybe they just want to get information, maybe they just want to socially network with other people. They were bored, who knows? But they simply weren't following the protocol, so I made it very clear. You must show your homework. You must show impedance tests and others that each week, if you want to get back in this class, you have to do something. You have to show you're learning and applying. For 12 months, every week for 3 hours, I met with them. It was medically supervised, even though there was no medicine given or medical advice. Instead, it dealt with changing the lifestyle and behavior. At the end of the protocol, an independent medical biostatistical report was done. About 3 months later, I received it, and it was shocking. As many as 98% of the women in the study who had hot flashes and night sweats, gone. Thinning of the hair, falling of the hair, to the opposite. New hair, even in women in their 50s and 60s, came back in natural color, not gray. Eyebrows regained their hair where they'd been thinning. Hair that was growing elsewhere on the body that shouldn't have been stopped. Skin tightened. Energy increased. Human growth hormone increased. Percentage of body fat decreased substantially. The average woman was 34% fat when they came in and was under 20% when they left. That meant they were saving their lives, probably adding 10 years onto each of their lives. Resting pulses, which were up in the 80s, were now in the 60s. Again, adding 10 to 20 years on the life of the heart. No more waking up in the middle of the night. No more urinary incontinence. So aches and pains gone. Over 70 different indices, 70 different things that were studied, improved. And then I sent it out for peer review acceptance, and it was. And in fact, I was one of the keynote presenters at an international scientific conference of some 7,000 physicians. Dr. Martin Feldman and I went to Chicago, and we made a presentation there before the world's leading anti-aging medical doctors and scientists, and it was well received. And it's made the rounds, and most of the people in the holistic health field are aware of it, but many of the people in this audience are not. And I give this to you to let you know that, yes, you can reverse menopausal symptoms. You can slow down the aging process. You can turn off pain and swelling. You can bring down your blood pressure and your cholesterol. You can improve your heart rhythm. You can have clarity of thought, better cognition. All this is possible because we've done it, and we've done it under the strictest scientific criteria. And therefore, it's not one woman who had major improvement and her physician husband said, well, that's nothing. Yeah, well, no one else has ever done it. No one. This was a first. And it's there. So that's that. All right? Now let's share this with you. Get a pencil and paper. You can always download this off the archives if you want to go through it. And I also have this in an article form. And this was published in the Towns Letter for Doctors and Patients as well. First and foremost, for hot flashes, they occur as a vasomotor response to increasing levels of the pituitary gland and a decreased estrogen levels by the ovaries. Now, estrogen, a steroid, affects the body systems. For example, it affects your nitrogen balance, hence proteins. It affects calcium and phosphorus metabolism, hence thinning of the bones. It affects sodium, which you actually, sodium chloride, that you retain, and hence edema. It affects blood proteins and fat metabolism, hence your cholesterol goes up. It affects vascular and skeletal integrity, meaning pliability of your bones. They become impliable, breaking, and your vessels stiffen. And I keep using this analogy because I think it's the easiest one to understand. Brand new water hose. Pliable, soft, bendable. Now, a year later in the sun, it is tight, brittle, easy to break. That's your arteries. And that's what happens with vascular and skeletal integrity being lost and thyroid function. That's where insulin production and adrenal function also are impacting. So we get estrogen from the ovaries. Estrogen-like substances from the adrenal glands when the ovaries cease functioning, and phytoestrogens, where we should be getting it from plants, which have more of a balancing effect on estrogen levels. And then we want the best of the best. So here are the superstars to help you with menopausal symptoms. These are called phytoestrogens. Phyto, P-H-Y-T-O, estrogens, E-S-T-R-O-G-E-N-S. Now, they work in combination, and that's why I always believe people should take these together. Dong Quai, D-O-N-G-Q-U-A-I, the most commonly popular used herb in the world. Licorice root, chaste berry, it's also called Vitex, V-I-T-E-X, chaste, C-H-A-S-T-E, and black cohosh, C-O-H-O-S-H. SH. But there are other herbs that are important but not as important. For example, if I find someone can't sleep or has headaches, I'll suggest skullcap. If I find that they need estrogen in a rebalancing form for natural hormone replacement, I'll give wild yam root. For headaches, motherwort. If they need to calm down, if they're not getting a good night's sleep, chamomile tea. If they need to be a little chilled out, valerian root. If they need to cleanse their liver, burdock root. If they've lost their libido, damiana. Also, for overall adaptogenic qualities, go to cola, G-O-T-U, go to cola, C-O-L-I. Siberian ginseng, kava, K-A-V-A, hops, rosemary, anise, ginger, mirapuama, M-U-I-R-A, puama, P-U-A-M-A, and schisandra, S-C-H-I-Z-A-N-D-R-A. Also, the supplements are important, like pregnenolone, 30 milligrams. It's the great hormone rebalancer. Vitamin C, between 5 to 10,000 milligrams, or to bowel tolerance. Flaxseed, borage seed, black currant seed oil each day. I would now add black cumin seed oil to that. You want your citrus in the form of juices like orange, grapefruit, lemon, lime, but also pineapple and berries and cherries. Vitamin E, 4 to 800 units a day. B complex, 50 milligrams a day. Pantothenic acid, 100 milligrams 3 times a day. Boron, 3 milligrams. Also, SAMe, 500 milligrams. Calcium magnesium, 1,200 milligrams, or a little less if it's not too good for your bowels. Silica, 50 milligrams. Zinc, 20 milligrams. L-arginine and lysine, 500 milligrams of each. Aloe vera, generally 4 to 12 ounces a day. Alpha-lipoic acid, 2 to 600 milligrams a day. And DHEA, generally 20 milligrams a day. Of the Chinese herbs for menopausal symptoms, Weihe, W-U-W-E-I, also Hershiwu, H-E-R-S-H-O-U-W-U, and then Femi Yin, F-E-M-I-Y-I-N. Now, also some people really benefit, especially if they're calm, from aromatherapy. You could put this in a bath. Just follow the directions on the bottle for how many drops. Clary sage, fennel, cypress, and for hot flashes in particular, oil of peppermint, basil, and you put that a little bit, if you want to do it right, put them on a little towel, face towel, and just put that on your head so you can breathe in the oils. Water is very important. Green juices, 6 green juices a day and 6 red juices a day. Red juice might come from plums, red apples, watermelon. These are excellent. And then grapes, but also 6 green juices. Then the nuts that are important are cashews and almonds, because they're loaded with estrogen, and flax loaded with estrogen. But yams, apples, grapefruits, lemons, pears, peaches are also good. Avoid always caffeine, alcohol, animal protein, salt, carbonated beverages, dairy products, and smoking. Walk 1 hour a day, power walking, and exercise 4 days a week with resistance exercise. De-stressing, sitting quietly, and just being mindful of yourself 1 hour per day. Now, hormone replacement is important, especially human growth hormone, HGH. Human growth hormone is released by your pituitary gland in the brain while you're asleep. It heads to the liver, where it is converted into insulin growth factor, which is a messenger molecule that travels to all parts of the body and stimulates cell production and growth. If you have low levels, it'll speed up your aging process. You'll lose muscle mass. You'll fatigue easy. It gives you more youthful skin. It de-ages you. It gives you lean muscle mass. It increases mental and physical vitality. It recontours the body in a good way. It helps melt away that fat and builds muscle. It helps prevent type 2 diabetes. And you can stimulate production of your own human growth hormone by supplementing with L-arginine, L-glutamine, L-ornithine, glycine, and niacine. And regular exercise every day also stimulates human growth hormone. The estrogen is important because it's a hormone that is normally produced by the ovaries and adrenal glands and fat cells. And too much estrogen suppresses the thyroid gland. And there are estrogen receptor cells in the bladder, the bones, the arteries, the heart, the liver, and the brain, in addition to the sex organs. It regulates osteoblast and osteoclast activity. It prevents cancer and gallstones. It protects your kidney function. It lowers your cholesterol. It prevents heart disease and brain decline. It supports growth and rejuvenation of your reproductive organs. And it keeps your uterus, your urinary tract, and your breasts and blood vessels toned and flexible. Now, if you want to enhance your estrogen, soybeans, organic, non-GMO, of course, tofu, tempeh, miso. Why? Because they all have genistein and soy isoflavones and magnesium. And magnesium and isoflavones help prevent hot flashes. The highest level foods, oats, cashews, almonds, alfalfa, apples, flax seeds, grapefruit, lemons, pears, and peaches, black cohosh, primrose oil, milk thistle. That helps normalize estrogen levels. And there are a lot of preparations out there. I've seen the triple estrogen, which is 80% estriol, which inhibits breast cancer in animals, and 20% estrione. And then to stabilize blood sugar with high lignin, flax oil, which is good, and it helps remove excess estrogen from the body. That's why olives and olive oil, pine nuts, avocados are all good for that. And then finally, when it comes to progesterone, progesterone is one of the most misunderstood and least used of all the hormone stimulators and rebalancers in the body. Progesterone is normally produced by the ovaries and the adrenal glands and by the testicles in men. Decreased levels are responsible for night sweats and hot flashes and depression. You need it for binding of thyroid hormones to tissues. It modulates glucose metabolism. It normalizes insulin resistance. It normalizes blood clotting. It reduces edema or water retention. It activates the natural killer T cells for cancer protection. It promotes cell division. It protects nerve cells. It stabilizes our mood. It can transform itself into estrogen, DHEA, testosterone, and cortisol as needed. It can transform itself into adrenal hormones when you're under stress. It has anti-estrogenic effects at the breast and uterine sites where it is, its presence is blocked, and the over-proliferation effect of estrogen could be leading to cancer. It oxygenates your cells. It protects against formation of fibrocystic tissue, and it promotes shedding of the uterine lining, thus preventing uterine cancer. So progesterone is decreased by menopause and hysterectomy and stress, which forces the body to transform it into stress hormones. So what can we do to help stabilize all hormones? Well, let's start with pregnenolone. Preg, P-R-E-G, nen, N-E-N, alone, O-L-O-N-E. It's a steroid hormone manufactured by cholesterol that can be transformed into DHEA, progesterone, testosterone, and estrogen. It can lower cholesterol levels, it can improve brain function, and increase the effectiveness of bioidentical hormone therapy. But my choice is always the superstar. This is the Elvis of hormone replacement, DHEA. DHEA is simply essential for life. It is a form of steroid. It's made in the adrenal glands. It's a precursor to estrogen and testosterone. It's found in natural yam preparations, best taken with melatonin to prevent too much breast cell proliferation. It's a natural antidote to negative effects of cortisol. It maintains collagen levels for younger-looking, tighter skin, and take higher doses with vitamin C, E, and selenium to prevent oxidative damage to the liver. You can get it in alfalfa, black cohosh, blue cohosh, burdock root, chaste tree berry, which is Vitex, which raises progesterone levels, Siberian ginseng, ginger, damiana, which enhances your sex drive and pleasure, angelica, skullcap, wild yam, and fennel. Licorice root stimulates natural conversion of testosterone to estrogen in the body, and you can also take motherwort, red clover, red raspberry leaves, and sarsaparilla. Dong Quai, which is the most commonly used herb in the world, tones your uterus, builds your blood, stimulates production of female hormones, is a muscle relaxant and a natural anti-inflammatory, promotes natural progesterone synthesis, plus ginkgo biloba helps level off your mood so you don't go to that high or low place, and enhances circulation. Chickpea, spinach, and pumpkin seeds are also good. And gota cola helps relieve hot flashes and vaginal dryness, thinning. And so, of course, use that along with testosterone. Now, testosterone, we think, that's purely a man's hormone. No, it's not. You know, it's also in women. It's the hormone responsible for our sex drive. It also supports the skin, your muscles, and your bones. And during male menopause, which is called andropause, there is a decrease in free testosterone, while estrogen levels remain the same or increase, especially if there's an excess of fat cells. It is produced 90% by the testes and 10% in the adrenal glands. And as we age, testosterone is often converted to estrogen, which puts you at risk, men, of dying of heart disease and prostate enlargement. The goal is to prevent the conversion of testosterone into estrogen and keep free testosterone levels up, which improves oxygen uptake, controls blood sugar, helps with healthy muscle mass, bone density and neurological function, regulates cholesterol, maintains immune system bone function. So that's important. Get your test taken twice a year. Make sure you get a hormone test that measures free testosterone, estradiol, total testosterone, progesterone, DHEA, PSA, LH, and homocysteine and C-reactive protein. So that's what we have to do. And for men, to keep you alive longer, pumpkin seeds, spirulina, zinc, L-carnitine, Panax, all important. And for your virility, Yohimbe, H-I-M-B-E, Tribulus, T-R-I-B-U-L-U-S, and ginkgo. Real jelly is a phenomenal hormone tonic, and your cruciferous vegetables can stimulate the liver to metabolize and excrete excess estrogen and keep your weight down and keep cells, your fat cells, from producing aromatase enzymes, which converts testosterone to estrogen. Chrysin, C-H-R-Y-S-I-N, with piperine, helps to absorb a plant pigment that acts as a natural aromatase inhibitor. And then stinging nettle root, and Muira, M-U-I-R-I, Puama, P-U-A-M-A, that helps enhance your libido. So these are some of the things that can make a difference. But how do you do it? Well, my suggestion is always put yourself into the hands of a qualified holistic physician or naturopath, holistic nurse, or someone who has the background and qualifications and experience to guide you in making your selections. I do not recommend for a moment that you try this on your own, because it's simply a whole lot to remember and it gets very complicated and you don't want to be overdoing it, and you have to do things on a gradual basis. I generally recommend people over a year increase what they're doing by about 5% per week. Then the body can adjust, and it's doable, adaptable, in a good way. But a lot of people ask me about this, so I just wanted to give you the framework. But there's a lot of work that's done inside that as well. I'm Gary Nall. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Have you with us, everyone. I'm Gary Nall, broadcasting and video streaming from our studios in New York. If you'd like to watch today's broadcast, just go to ustream.tv and search for Gary Nall. And always have this phone number ready, because you never know when you're going to be traveling and think, wow, why don't I tune in and see what Gary's talking about? Pick up the telephone and call. I realize we have no control over it, that they may break in for a little commercial occasionally. That's an annoyance, but, you know, I'd rather have that little annoyance than not have you be able to reach the show at all. It's the service that makes itself available. But of the 2,600 radio outlets that use this service, we're number one in all of North and South America and Canada. I mean, a lot of people are listening right now over the telephone. That number, 712-432-7231, 712-432-7231, and 401-347-0456, 401-347-0456. And also for all of the affiliate stations in West Virginia and South Beach and everywhere in America who are carrying the show right now, we appreciate you being out there. So much so, that's why we've never charged a licensing fee, ever. Where other syndicators charge it from $1,000 to $5,000 per year, we charge you zero. Plus, we go in and help them raise funds. And that's also true for all the public television stations. Never charged a nickel to any station. Could have, everyone else does. But I figure if the whole point is to help them raise money, doesn't make any sense if I'm trying to make the station money than to be charging them that they have to pay me back when I'm raising them. That, to me, just makes no sense. If you're going to help them, help them. That's what we do. From our environmental segment, several things that are important. First up, this is from space.com. Quote, strong solar flare sparks radio blackout. The sun erupted with a massive solar flare late Thursday triggering a temporary communications blackout of some parts of the Earth. The powerful flare peaked at 8:27 p.m. and ranked as an X1.3 class solar storm, one of the strongest types of flares the sun can experience. According to a report from the U.S. Space Weather Prediction Center, NASA's Sun-Watching Solar Dynamics Observatory captured video of the intense solar flare in several different wavelengths. The solar flare erupted from an active sunspot region known as Region 2035, located on the far western side, where the limb of the sun is seen from Earth. Because of its position, the flare sparked a high-frequency radio blackout for about an hour on the daytime side of Earth, most likely over the Pacific Ocean and eastern Pacific Rim. And when aimed directly at Earth, X-class solar flares can endanger astronauts in space as well as interfere with communications and navigation satellites in orbit. The most powerful X-flares can also affect power grids and other infrastructure on the Earth. And Thursday's solar flare was the fourth X-class flare in the last 3 months. Let me repeat that. This was the fourth solar flare in the last 3 months. So, anyhow, it went on to talk about, you know, that, okay, that's good. It didn't knock out a power station. Last year, a solar flare went out from the sun, and we missed it, based upon the orbit, by 7 days. Had that one hit Earth, all lights would have been on Earth. It would have been a life changer. Our grids would have been burned out completely. Our nuclear power plants would have been on backup energy for a week or 30 days. Then they would have gone Fukushima, 1,000 of them. It would have changed all Earth on life on Earth. New York City would not be habitable because it would just be one toxic zone. It would be like having a cot outside the building of Fukushima. Fortunately, we missed it. But it's amazing how many people I speak with who are clueless about solar storms and have no idea what to do if they happen. I suggest that you take precautions in a prudent way so that if there ever is any emergency, you'll be able to survive and have food and water and backup generator and power. It doesn't take a lot of effort. It just takes getting out of denial. Quote from the Environmental Working Group, most U.S. apples coated with a chemical banned in Europe. And interesting, I was reading, someone actually sent me a National Geographic where the cover story is about feeding the world's populations and how we're not doing a good job of it. And they offered some reasonable solutions, but they're still praising Monsanto in there, thinking that factory farming is the answer. It isn't. And here's what I didn't appreciate, because they did good research for this article, that 48% of the landmass has not yet been exploited, but is going to be. And that is being exploited, the largest single percentage is grasslands for grazing cattle and sheep and factory farming is monofarming. One crop, like corn or soy, genetically engineered over millions of acres. And that's because more people want chicken and beef. And there's been a 700% increase in the demand for chicken, because as people's income increases, they consider it a better standard of living to be able to eat the very foods that cause us death. Kind of stupid if you don't look at the whole context. But it's not stupid when you understand that people have been very poor and they thought, gee whiz, you know, shouldn't we have the same sugar as everyone else? Yeah, well, but do you understand what you're getting with the sugar? You can now say that you're living like Americans, but you're also going to die like Americans, and not very smart. Anyhow, it just showed that we have a whole mess and nothing's being done because we don't have any politicians who have the courage to tell the truth and change the system. So virtually, I've given up on all governments. I've given up on all politicians. I don't believe in any of them. I believe they're all corrupt or stupid or both. And I believe that the future is not redeemable with any change, compromise, or reform. I don't believe reform is possible, and paradigms are not going to change. Sociopaths are not going to change. Psychopaths are not going to change. Basically, greedy people are not going to change, and most people doing stupid things don't change. So what that means is that the world is screwed. Most people are screwed. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. I wished it weren't. I don't want to see anyone hurt, harmed, sickened. But there's no way to save a person from themselves when they're self-righteous in their indignation that they shouldn't be allowed to do what they do, even if what they want to do is harmful. So where's the hope? Well, there's the other side of it. I'm eternally optimistic and positive because I see tens of millions of people in the United States, hundreds of millions of people worldwide who are making positive choices and therefore doing good things and doing it together and working cooperatively together. There's over 100 million people working in cooperative units in different ways right now. So don't put your eyes on those who are not taking advantage of good opportunities for change, eating right, exercising, stress management, creating different types of politics without special interest group lobbying powers and money. Look at the people who are doing it. Focus upon the good. Back to this, a chemical, quote, widely used on non-organic American apples was banned in the European Union because its makers could not show it did not pose a risk to human health. That's according to the Environmental Working Group. In the U.S., as few Americans may realize, after harvest, farmers and packers drench most conventionally raised apples with DPA. DPA, by the way, is a diphenylamine, which helps prevent storage scald, blackening or browning of fruit skin during long months of cold storage. And DPA was first registered in 1962, and tests of raw apples conducted by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the most recent year for which data was available, found that DPA is on 80% of the apples tested. So they're saying, you can't prove this is safe. We're not going to allow it in our apple juice, apple sauce, or in apples. But that's in Europe. In the United States, no. As long as someone's making money, they'll get it on the market. And finally, on the environmental segment, from Sarah Larrick of the Common Dreams, the airborne radiation leak at the federally owned New Mexico nuclear waste dump that, quote, was never supposed to leak was caused by poor management, a dismal safety culture, and structural failures, according to U.S. government's own investigation. Quote, the 302-page report from the U.S. Department of Energy's Accident Investigation Board finds that the waste isolation pilot plant in southeastern New Mexico was plagued by a lack of rigorous internal safety measures by Nuclear Waste Partnership, the contractor that operates the facility. Furthermore, the report charges that the Carlsbad Field Office, Department of Energy, quote, have allowed the safety culture at the project to deteriorate, and as a result, workers do not feel comfortable speaking up about and documenting problems and dangers. Questioning attitudes are not welcome by managers. Many issues and hazards do not appear to be readily recognized by site personnel. So, they still don't know what caused the leak that sent radioactive particles in the air, exposing workers to radiation at alarming levels, but they know now that it was being covered up. So, once again, we're told there's no problem with radiation, and then we find out there's a big problem with radiation. Also, this is from one of our newsmakers. It says, the Suffolk County legislature is meeting and will discuss the possibility of accepting hydrofracking waste, meaning toxic and radioactive, to be used on our roads as brine and in our landfills that will eventually seep into our aquifers and our drinking water. If you're able to join us to speak at this meeting, the directions to the Riverside meeting should be used. If you're not able to make it, call your legislator and let them know what you think about this idea. You can find their phone number on legis.suffolkcounty.gov. A fact sheet from Grassroots Environment states the following, quote, why we have public health concerns about oil and gas drilling waste on Long Island. Facts. Hydraulic fracturing waste contains high levels of naturally occurring radioactive material brought to the surface by drilling, as well as toxic mixtures of chemicals used in the fracking process. Bringing this waste to Long Island will contaminate landfills with radioactive materials that could last thousands of years, risk human exposure to radioactive material from road spreading, truck accidents, leaks, and spills, risk safety of drinking water, aquifers from runoff, inadequate processing and containment, tank corrosion, leaks and ruptures, risk viability of wastewater treatment plants due to processing of hazardous chemicals and brine, risk contamination of food supply from runoff, a contaminated water supply, airborne and radioactive particles and disposal on farmland, hydraulic fracturing, also known as hydrofracking or fracking, is a technology used for oil and gas extraction from shale formations, which involves the injection of millions of gallons of fresh water with hundreds of chemicals and sand forced under high pressure into the well bores to crack open the shale. The fissures created by this fracturing are held open by the sand particles so that oil or gas can be released up the drill shaft. 10 to 40% of this highly toxic chemical mixture is returned to the surface with the oil or gas and additional naturally occurring contaminants, including volatile organic compounds, heavy metals like arsenic, lead, mercury, brine 8 times saltier than seawater, and radioactive elements, including radium-226 and radium-228 and radon. The extraction process produces 2 types of wastewater. Flowback water is the chemically treated fracking fluid that returns to the surface shortly after fracking operation. Produced water, also known as formation water or fracking brine, is the fluid that comes out of the shale formation along with the oil and gas. This process also produces tons of semi-solid waste in the form of drilling muds, sludge, and cuttings. The Marcellus Shale contains potentially high levels of naturally occurring radiated materials. Hence, the gas from the region can contain high levels of radon, a proven carcinogen and the leading cause of lung cancer among non-smokers. And the produced water and semi-solids can contain high levels of radium-226 and radium-228, both known carcinogens. Radium-226 emits gamma radiation, which can travel fairly long distances through air, raising risks for cancer in distant communities. Its half-life is 1,600 years, and it's linked to cataracts, anemia, bone, liver, and breast cancers. There is no, I repeat, there is no safe disposal plan for the billions of gallons of wastewater and thousands of tons of sludge and cuttings currently being produced by oil and gas drilling operations. And then it goes on to talk about more. But so here's the issue. Contact your legislator and tell them no to putting this into the environment, in roads, in anything. I'm Gary Knoll. We're going to go to our guest in a moment for a health news update on GMOs. And then if time permits, we'll have some talk back at 888-874-4888. I'm Gary Knoll. Back in a moment.
She used to be my girl.
We're going to David Murray in a moment to talk to him about the new update on Vermont's genetically modified labeling laws and how big agriculture and Congress are trying to prevent labeling nationally. But before we do that, just a couple announcements. This Sunday at noon, I'll be one of the keynote speakers working with Mind Freedom to challenge psychiatry. We'll be right across the street at their national convention. The national convention will be at the Javits Center. We're going to be at 34th Street and 11th Avenue at noon. And we'll be talking about what's wrong with psychiatry. And I'll have a special report that I'll be presenting and handing out to every psychiatrist that goes in the building to let them know that whatever else they think they are, they're not a science. And whatever good they think they're doing, they're hurting a lot of people. You won't want to miss this. So for the activists, the call to action people in our audience, this is a cause that we should all be supporting. Otherwise, we're all going to end up at some point, especially activists or concerned citizens or people wanting to make healthy choices, as being labeled with some form of psychiatric disorder and then with the potential of being court-ordered to be drugged. That's how bad it's gotten. You better hear how much they've been working behind the scenes, big pharma, with front groups to make normal behavior mental disorders. So join us this Sunday at noon at 34th Street and 11th Avenue across from the Javits Center, where we will be protesting against psychiatry and mental health. We're against forced drugging, electroshock therapy, restraints, seclusion, aversion therapy, child kidnapping, which they do. You cannot believe, but you'll hear some of the stories. You won't believe it, trust me. But we'll have the people there, the patients who've suffered there. So hope that you can come and show up. Also, for those who have called from around the United States and Canada, I was flooded with calls yesterday afternoon. I can't get to them because I'm packed with finishing up 13 brand new CD specials on important issues for this audience for the upcoming fund drive for one of our sister stations. But I was told that people really appreciate the fact they can get good nutritional counseling. I'm even interviewing later today some physicians who called in, said they'd like to come in and help on the weekends, answer questions. But we have really good qualified nutritionists. So you can get counseled from your own home if you live out of the tri-state area. If you live in the tri-state area, got to come in. But if you live where you couldn't make it in, you know, by a normal commute, all over the country, all over Canada, you can call and be counseled for free. Call 844-318-3183. 844-318-3183. Let's say hello to David Murphy, who's with us. Hi, David.
Hi, Gary. How you doing? Pleasure to be here.
Thank you. David, tell us about what happened in Vermont, and then tell us why we better pay careful attention, because what happened in Vermont is going to be challenged nationwide, because they're making an end run to try to get the federal government, which they have more control over, to say, we don't want this. And how can the federal government then exceed state rights when it comes to labeling of genetically engineered material?
Well, Gary, I hate to say it, but you're right again. You know, the great news is there was a historic victory in Vermont last week where the state, the Vermont House Legislature, voted 133 to 30 in favor of GMO labeling. They passed the first no-strings-attached GMO labeling bill here in the U.S. That means the first time in 22 years a state has passed a bill, tiny state of Vermont, that would allow foods that contain genetic engineered ingredients to be labeled here in the U.S. That follows up with the success last year that activists had in Connecticut and Maine, passing labeling bills. Those bills in Maine and in Connecticut unfortunately had trigger clauses because their governors and attorney generals of those states were afraid of being sued by Monsanto. In a way to get around that, the Vermont legislature came up with a legal defense fund. Attorney generals in states across the U.S. are estimating that a legal challenge by Monsanto on the biotech industry will cost state taxpayers' coffers anywhere between $2 to $5 million. So the state of Vermont set up a legal defense fund for $1.5 million to begin. The governor has indicated that he will sign the bill. That's Governor Peter Shumlin has indicated that he will sign the bill into law sometime in Maine. The interesting thing, though, is, as you said, that the biotech industry, with Monsanto on the lead, the Grocery Manufacturers Association, right now is working hand in glove with members of Congress. And 2 weeks ago, a bill was introduced by Congressman Mike Pompeo, a Republican from Kansas. The interesting connection with Mike Pompeo is that he is actually the Koch brothers' congressman in their home district, and they donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to Mike Pompeo. He introduced a bill that would basically kill states' rights, make it illegal for states to pass a GMO labeling bill, and also allow for food to contain the label natural to contain genetically engineered ingredients. So it looks like the more success we have as a movement, as people, as citizens of this country, the more work we have to do. But the great news is we're one step further along. We just have a little bit more work to do to drive this thing home in D.C.
What I'd like to do, David, is get the people in the audience to support fooddemocracynow.org and your group, because your group is spearheading the effort to take petitions, articles into Washington. Also, we welcome a lawsuit by Monsanto. You see, the trouble is everyone always fears them, because once Monsanto gets aggressive with these white glove law firms, they can go after you and tie you up. And I've talked with farmer after farmer who's been sued. However, the advocates, we love to get them in, because under discovery and under depositions, we can go after all their internal emails. We can find out the groups that they work with, the people who are their front people, and go after them also personally if they've committed any crimes. So they're extremely vulnerable if they go up with people who've got any brains and determination. The trouble is, the mistakes that states make, they never bring in the investigative journalist. If you ever get in a legal fight, bring in the journalist. They're the ones who will nail the opposition. And
careful which journalists to bring in. But yes, I would say independent investigative journalists would be very important in getting the real story out there. Unfortunately, as you know, the corporate-owned media, mainstream media, does not tell the truth about these GMOs and the chemicals, which is one of the reasons why our democracy has been stifled for these past 22 years.
I understand, but do you realize how many people have watched Seeds of Death?
I'm sure. Millions.
Tens of millions. And how many
Absolutely.
People read the articles? We went after them. You can't get any more strong in the challenge to Monsanto and DuPont than we did in our articles. You know, we want them to come up and do a fight. We want it. Then we've got teams of lawyers, and we don't just have lawyers. We have bulldogs. We have people that don't work for the hour. They go after the jugular vein. We love fat cat rich Koch brothers. We love to get in a rumble with these guys. We'll just beat that out of them. All right. Get them in court. If you want to win, have the good, honest, decent journalists and those who are not afraid of the truth. Get them in front of a jury and let them tell the truth, not these sanctified, pasteurized, homogenized scientists for hire that get up there and will tell them, the audience, what they want to be told, but never tell them the truth. So we're not afraid of these corporate people. And every time you go head-to-head with them, look at how many times they've lost and had to settle. But as long as they make you believe that they're rich and powerful and can hire big law firms, you want to know how many famous people in the Nixon administration who were the Ivy League best and brightest went to prison? Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Clausen, John Mitchell. Look at the law firms. Look at the lawyers. Scooter Libby. Look at the people who you would have thought these are the most expensive, best and brightest lawyers in America. It didn't stop the truth from protecting them. Where do you think all the presidents of the United States, and currently, including the current president, would be today if they were brought to an international human rights tribunal? How many of them would be sitting with Taylor in a prison for life? So don't fear the truth.
I would say I agree that definitely, of course, it's a good venue to have the truth sought out. Unfortunately, Food Democracy Now! Is a part of a lawsuit against Monsanto. The organic seed we were attempting to protect organic farmers from contamination from Monsanto's genetically engineered crops, and also, you know, these frivolous patent infringement lawsuits that Monsanto files against farmers to bully them. But we were unsuccessful. It was appealed to the Supreme Court. January, they dismissed it. But you do bring up an interesting point regarding lawsuits, because in the 1990s, 1998, the Center for Alliance for Biointegrity, under Steve Drucker, an Iowa lawyer, filed a lawsuit against the FDA. What they found through discovery, as you mentioned, was really important FDA documents that showed in the 1990s, the FDA's own scientists were skeptical of the safety of genetically engineered crops. So this was only discovered through a lawsuit against the Food and Drug Administration, 1998. And it was really important because there's hundreds of pages of documents showing that the FDA's own scientists said that genetically engineered crops could lead to new potential health risks and toxicants in our food, something that Monsanto and the USDA and the FDA have denied for 20 years.
That's the whole point.
So if we get some lawsuits against Monsanto, you're right, it could be an interesting opportunity.
Well, the key is when the opportunity comes, you give us a call, and we'll bring in the defense team, and we'll bring in a team of journalists, and we'll bring in people who will dig and get the truth out, and that can make a difference. All right? And keep doing all
Absolutely.
The good work you're doing, David. We appreciate and respect you, and people should contact fooddemocracynow.org to join in our efforts to stop Monsanto and the Grocery Manufacturers Association from crafting legislation that will, in effect, usurp states' rights. So even if we got food labeling in every state, if the government does a law that supersedes it, then we're back to square one. You see, playing fair, they don't know how to do because they would lose. So they use power and influence. But that doesn't mean that we should stop and say, well, they're so big. Yeah, they're big, and they make mistakes. And the bigger they are, the more mistakes they make. And we'll just find those mistakes. All the best to you, David.
Thank you very much, Gary. You have a great day. Thank you.
And we'll keep everyone informed of that. We're out of time. I want to thank you all for listening. We look forward to sharing more tomorrow.